Are you ready to grow your business, build wealth, and spark transformation in the South Suburbs of Chicago? Visit southlanddevelopment.org today and sign up for our newsletter to stay connected, get resources, and be the first to hear about the Achieve Summit, where entrepreneurs, developers, investors, and changemakers come together to ignite growth and opportunity. Don't just watch change happen, be a part of it. Join the movement at southlanddevelopment.org and start building your legacy today.
Welcome back to The First Million is Always the Hardest. Today, we're joined by Manny Flores, President and CEO of SomaCorp, to talk about one of the most important tools in small business growth, the SBA 504 loan. As a title sponsor of the 2026 Achieve Summit, SomaCorp is helping lead the conversation around capital access, commercial ownership, and what it really takes for entrepreneurs to build stability and scale.
Well, thank you for being here, and welcome to The First Million is Always the Hardest. I am your host, Bo Kemp, and I have with me Manny Flores of SomaCorp. Just for the people who are watching and listening, tell us a little bit about you and tell us a little bit about SomaCorp.
Well, first of all, Bo, I just want to say thank you for having me on the program. I'm a big fan of all the work that you've done.
Thank you.
And really value your leadership and your engagement in our communities and also the outstanding work that the Southland Development Authority is doing here in Illinois. And really, I think it's a national model, and I know we'll go into that discussion shortly. But, my name is Manny Flores. I'm the president and CEO of SomaCorp. I'm blessed to be able to say that I've had a number of different roles that I'm very proud of, but also just, you know, they frankly, it's been a privilege. I've held public office at the local government level. I was a city council member here in Chicago, learned a lot about local economic development, what it means for helping small businesses, working with local chambers of commerce, and then also working on a larger scale. The city's obviously one of the largest cities. It's an international
one of the
hub.
Greatest cities.
Absolutely. I would say it is the greatest city.
There you go.
but, you know, also served in state government. Yeah. Where I worked with Governor Quinn, Pat Quinn, in his cabinet, and had a number of different roles that just created some unique opportunities for me to now be in this new position. It's not so new anymore.
Yeah. How did you get to SomaCorp?
Well, initially I was a board member. I had been recruited by the SomaCorp board at around 2016 because of my banking regulatory background. Yeah. As you know, I served as a banking commissioner for the state of Illinois for nearly 4 years.
Yeah.
And through that experience, had the opportunity to work throughout the state of Illinois with the banking community, mm-hmm. the credit unions, and other financial services companies. But candidly, not just from a regulatory background.
Yeah.
It was also from the lens of the economic impact that these organizations have in our local communities, not just the city of Chicago, but, you know, central, southern Illinois, northwest Illinois. Illinois is also a great state. It's not just Chicago.
That's right. Your commitment to public service is, I think, indicative of your interest in impact, right? And the opportunity to not just, you know, to do well and to do good at the same time. And SomaCorp seems to give you a really interesting opportunity to kind of have an impact that's outsized.
You know, it really is. And I got to tell you, I share this with everybody. I love what I do. I don't consider it a job. I don't consider it work. It really is a continuance of my commitment to public service. So I'm an attorney by profession, and when I was a little boy, that was my dream.
Yeah,
to go to law school, to become an attorney, but not just to say that I'm an attorney. It was just a real interest in doing something, helping communities, being involved.
Yeah,
and so, you know, you referenced SomaCorp and what we do, and you're right. I mean, you know, it's an organization like SomaCorp. It's called a certified development company. It's a non-for-profit lending company. It's a community financial institution, not a CDFI, not a community development financial institution, but it's still a mission-based nonprofit organization.
Yes.
And it's very unique because it is tied to the Small Business Administration, the U.S. Small Business Administration, as you know, the premier federal agency that is charged with helping grow the small business ecosystem nationally. And so as part of that effort, you have a network of certified development companies like SummerCorps, whose mission it is to help the SBA administer and deploy funds through one of the best and seminal economic development loan programs called the SBA 504 loan program.
Yeah. And I want to take a second to make sure we explain to people what that program is and how it works, because I think it really sits in this really interesting place. A lot of people, more people I think, are more familiar with the 7A loan from the SBA and are less familiar with 504, but they kind of are two sides of a different coin that work together. So just take a second and explain what the 504 program is that you guys have been administering.
So the 504 loan program is a program specifically designed to support, and I'm going to also use the word encourage.
Yeah.
I like to use the word encourage, motivate business owners to buy their owner-occupied real estate, to buy their own building, to buy their own facility, to buy their equipment, their own equipment, and to do it with lower cost financing. And that's the encouragement part, is to really help that business grow and expand by owning and purchasing their real estate. And that also includes any construction costs, any improvement costs. And so it is, you know, it is specifically dedicated for that. But more so than just that, it's not just to help the individual business owner, but it's also tied to job creation.
Yeah.
It's also tied to investing in under-resourced communities. And to be clear, you know, yes, there are a lot of under-resourced communities in many urban communities, but we're not just talking about the cities. You also are looking at rural communities, where, you know, maybe it's a farming community, maybe it's just a smaller town. And so we need to make sure that we have resources available to all of these communities, because in the end of the day, we know that the jobs are created by smaller businesses.
That's right.
Right? And so there are job creation goals, and there are other public policy goals tied to this program. So that's also part of the unique distinction between the 504 loan program and the 7A program. I'd also just say that the 504 program is executed by nonprofit lending institutions like SummerCorps.
Yeah.
And the reason that's important, Bo, is that and we do it in partnership. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that partnership part. But our number one responsibility, our priority, is in alignment with what the SBA's priority is, right?
That's right.
Our authorization comes directly from the SBA. So that means that we are looking out for that business interest and that community growth. So it really is a focus on that. And then we also, you know, we partner with banks and other private lenders and other organizations to make sure that we are connecting with the members of the community who are in a position to use this financing. And if they're not ready today, that's okay.
You get them ready for the future.
Well, that's where we get to work with the Southland Development Authority.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's
right. The Cook County Business Source is an example. I know we want to give them a shout out.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the great work that they're doing. But it is about connecting with other stakeholders who are in the trenches, you know, working shoulder to shoulder, helping grow capacity, helping grow our local economies. And we come in with a set of tools, financial access to capital, really designed to catalyze growth. And if they're not, if that business owner is not ready today, we're going to work with them in partnership with you, Bo, and to help them take advantage of these resources.
You know, just to set context for everyone at a broader level, there's this wave that's taking place in the country of baby boomers retiring, sometimes called the silver tsunami. You know, they're at that retirement age, and of the individual small business owners, baby boomers are the largest contingent of owners.
Yep.
So as they retire, a couple of things are all happening at once, right? They're looking to make enough money to retire, and they're relying on the structure of their business and the sale of their business in one form to do that. When they do retire, often they separate the real estate and equipment from the operating aspects of that business. And in many instances, the operating gets shut down altogether if they can't sell the business, and then they just try to sell the assets. That has a significant and negative impact in our communities. That means that many municipalities are losing the tax revenue from that company, no longer operating there. People who've worked in those jobs for a long period of time are losing those jobs. It also has an impact on the ecosystem or the supply chain, because many instances, those smaller businesses right. are part of a whole network of businesses that are actually doing work in the Southland or in the Chicago region or anywhere in the country. And so we've taken it upon ourselves at the Southland Development Authority to really focus on finding a new set of potential buyers for those programs, those companies, so that, in fact, those businesses don't get shut down. But in that same process, we're still having to figure out how to separate the issue of the real estate from the operating business. And this is where I think the 504 program in particular could be of interest, because I think many of our listeners and many people who are small business owners, they don't really think about owning their, they don't think about the benefits of owning their real estate. They don't think about how that falls into the structure of their generational wealth. They are very afraid of the risk related to it. And many of them just don't think they qualify, right? So kind of walk people through some maybe examples of people that maybe didn't think they qualify and did, people who may have not fully appreciated what the benefit of owning the real estate was, but after they leveraged the 504 program to add real estate to their entire structure, it really solidified and in some cases may have substantially increased their value. Just walk us through a couple examples, because I think it will be really helpful to be tangible to people.
So a couple things. There's a lot there. And yeah. So give me a moment. As we know, like, for instance, just using housing example,
yeah.
you have a number of federal loan programs dedicated to help home ownership,
yeah.
right? And usually those programs may come with a lower down payment,
mm-hmm.
A more affordable interest rate. It's a, you know, 30-year mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, the 504, I would say, is the equivalent for business owners.
That's right.
So, you know, many of those business owners probably have taken advantage of a Freddie or Fannie loan or exactly. some other, or a VA loan. And so similarly, you have the SBA 504 loan program.
Yeah.
I would use that as an analogy to connect it to something that people understand.
People can relate to. Right. Absolutely.
Right. The American dream is, we've been told that the American dream is to own your home.
Right.
But as you know, the home is great, but that's only one piece of the puzzle.
That's right.
Right, if you want to build generational wealth and also strong communities, it's about supporting entrepreneurship.
Absolutely.
So this is where I get excited, because look, the 504 program is a darn good program. It's been around for many years and has the metrics on it are outstanding. That's what the 504 loan program is, not just helping the home ownership part, but now it's like if you own your business,
you can own your real estate.
Own your real estate.
Absolutely.
Own your building. You own your business, own your building for the business. And, you know, the way that we make that possible through the SBA 504 loan program is like those other federal loan programs that provide for that affordable financing for home ownership. Similarly, here, you're talking about a loan that is only going to require a 10% down payment typically. It is a fixed rate term. So you have a 10, a 20, or 25-year term. That's really long, right?
Yeah.
You know this yourself.
You're hedging against the economy and changes.
And you're
that
not
you
going to get
predict.
That in a conventional loan.
No,
right?
Absolutely not.
You're not going to get – that's not conventional financing. So again, that's one of the favorable, that's one of the benefits of using a 504 loan. And then in addition to that, the interest rates are fixed for that time period.
That's a
and the
big interest, advantage right now.
Big advantage, right?
Yeah.
Cash flow is critical for any business. Certainty, predictability,
yeah.
being able to manage your payment structure and schedule, right? The interest rates, though, under the 504 program are also lower. Typically, they're very competitive and typically lower than market rate.
Yep.
So, you know, right now, in spite of some of the volatility that we're dealing, the interest rate for the 504 loan program is under 6%.
That's great.
And for manufacturing in particular, it's even lower. So manufacturing companies have even a lower interest rate under the 504. There's a special carve out for manufacturing related companies.
That's important. We have a large number of manufacturing businesses that we work with through the Metals Hub, which is also a program sponsored by Cook County and the BSO network. That we're really trying to make sure that we keep those businesses stable, network stable. Yeah. So,
you know, a little bit more of the 504 program. You know, it could be for a smaller size project.
Yeah.
We have projects where we have helped business owners with total project costs of $150,000, believe it or not, to $300,000.
Yep.
But then we've also been involved in deals where the total project costs were more than $20 million.
Yeah.
What's the
restriction in terms of the amount of capital the 504 program can bring to the table?
So it's by size. So typically you're going to have, it's a unique structure. 50-40-10 is the typical structure. So what does 50-40-10 mean? 40% of the financing for any eligible project is going to come from the SBA through the 504 loan program.
Gotcha.
And then if you remember, I said that there's a lower down payment. So as opposed to the 20%+ that you would have to come up with if it was conventional financing. Here, it's only 10% down.
Gotcha.
Of the total project cost. Now, what's one of the unique elements of this program is that we don't finance the project entirely by ourselves. So we do it in partnership with a bank,
yes,
a credit union, or other private lenders who are non-depositories. In some instances, it's even CDFIs, Community Development Financial Institutions.
Yes.
And we have a number of great partners here locally in the Chicagoland area. I'd like to give them a shout out, the Chicago Community Loan Fund,
absolutely,
Allies for Community Business. You know, we also have Terrence.
You have IFF.
I'm sure you work with. And Archer, Greenwood Archer,
yep,
Capital. So, you know, we have, and those are just some, right? Women's Business Development. So there's a, I hope I didn't leave anybody out because I'm going to get some potential angry grams, you know?
But
the reality is we're lucky. But I reference that because it's a public-private partnership.
Yep.
So this program not only encourages and facilitates that investment on the side of that small business owner, but it also encourages banks and credit unions and other lenders to do more small business lending.
That's
because
right.
then, you know, on their side of the ledger,
that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. On their side of the ledger, instead of the bank being extended 75% or more loan to value, mm-hmm, on a particular loan, they're at 50%.
Yeah.
And one of the other elements to encourage that small business lending by the private side is the lenders are in a first lien position.
Gotcha.
Because it is, as you know, this loan is obviously tied to real estate, mm-hmm, right, or a fixed asset. So
you've got more principal protection
as a
result
more
of the
principal
structure.
Protection. And then additionally to that, remember that this is a community development loan program. So what does that mean for a bank? That means that you are eligible for Community Reinvestment Act credit. And so for our listening audience, CRA, Community Reinvestment Act, that's to ensure that our banking institutions are investing in all communities.
That's right.
Right? We know that there was a time where there was discrimination and, mm-hmm, and where funds were not being distributed, you know, like they should have. And candidly, you know, we still have challenges,
yeah,
right? Oftentimes it's a matter of, do we have adequate coverage? Do we have adequate banking institutions or other institutions who are in a position to provide the capital?
Right.
The 504 makes it easier, makes it more possible even for the private institutions to actually lend more in our community.
So when you're going back to the 50-40-10, 50% comes from a commercial bank or a CDFI or some other lending institution. 40% comes from SomaCorp through the SBA. And the 10% is a down payment that you, as the owner of the business and future owner of the property, have to put down.
That's right.
Now, that 10%, does it have to be cash? Can you raise that capital?
It's an equity injection.
So, but can I raise money from a bunch of partners that put that money down as equity? Or am I restricted? You know, sometimes you have a loan and you have to demonstrate you personally have that cash in order to do it.
I mean, look, obviously now you're getting into some really nitty gritty details. There are some requirements around who is investing. There are personal guarantees in these loans because these are federal loans.
And that's true for the SBA 7A program too.
That's right. And I would just remind everybody that these are taxpayer dollars.
That's right.
So we have, we want to create an opportunity, but as citizens, as folks who are benefiting from this, government grant, if you will, even though it's a loan, I think it's still, I look at it as a benefit that we have a responsibility to then repay that obligation and to follow those rules.
No question.
And if for no other reason, it's just to remind us, right, is that I'm receiving help essentially from my community.
Yeah.
Right. Because even though it's a self-funded program, this program belongs to the taxpayers.
Yeah. And you're using other people's money, and there's not a lot of ways to get access to other people's money.
That's right.
And in exchange, we're asking you to make some commitments around this, right, in order to give you access to this funding. Do you get that knot in your stomach every Sunday night? You've checked all the boxes, career, title, income, but if you're honest, this is not the life you imagined. What if the problem isn't you? It's the design of your life. I'm Bo. I help high performers redesign their lives for freedom, purpose, and real wealth. Join my masterclass and I'll walk you through the exact framework. Go to lifedesign.com. That's LIFEDESYN.com. Your new chapter doesn't start someday. It starts now.
You're listening to The First Million is Always the Hardest. We are now returning to the show.
You know, one of the questions that I have is interesting. You know, when you talk to people about buying versus starting a business, 90% of all businesses that are started within 5 years fail, right? But if you go through and get a SBA 7A loan, less than 10% of those businesses fail. Now, there's obviously a lot of self-selection because the ability to get that 7A loan requires that you've been through a variety of rigorous tests to achieve that. But I'm curious if there's something similar about the 504 loan, meaning if I were to go and try to buy this piece of property on my own, my capacity to be able to either finance that property, maintain that property, sell it in the future is very different than if I had a 504 loan. I don't know if there's an analogy.
I would say this, a couple things that I want to clarify. So with that 50-40-10, that is the typical structure, right? Now you referenced startups. Believe it or not, you could be in business for less than 2 years and be eligible for a 504 loan, but then that down payment
is a little higher.
There's going to be a premium, 15% down payment, which is still very reasonable. Amazing because if you were a startup and you were seeking conventional financing, you're not going to get it.
That's right.
It's very rare
that
you would get the conventional financing if you were operating for under 2 years. Now, there are rules, and you would still, the federal government is not just going to give you money just to say, okay, well, you're a small business and we love you. We love small business. We do love small business, but we have a responsibility. So in the end of the day, it's going to be about, what is your business plan? What is this? And it goes back to the comment that you made about the challenges that any small business has.
That's
and so understanding your market, what are the products that you're manufacturing?
Yep.
Who are you selling to? What are the local market conditions? Understanding what your projections are, understanding your financials and your clients, your customer base, that's critical. And so we also, when we do the underwriting, we evaluate those things. There's a very thorough review. There is some flexibility, but again, there is also an obligation on our part to be responsible. Now, that being said, you referenced the performance of businesses who are taking on a 7A loan. Well, the charge-off rate for the 504 loan is, this is nationally, thousands of businesses, billions of dollars that are being loaned. It's less than 1-2% nationally.
Well, that's what I thought.
That is a tremendous track record.
Yes,
it is. I would say candidly better than a lot of the other programs. Yeah. And in part, look, I think it's also there is a unique structure, credit underwriting structure too. And I don't want to get too technical, but you know, you have essentially in our program, you're going to have three different sets of eyes. You're going to have the bank that will do their underwriting, the summer cores of the program that will do the underwriting, and then the SBA examiner will make sure that there's eligibility compliance, and again, that the numbers match up with what the application is saying. So there's a lot of protection. Now, I don't want to scare off the someone listening to this, tuning into this. The reality is, you know, we navigate the process, and that's why you would bring on a company like SummerCore. Our responsibility is to how to help all of the constituency groups who could benefit from the program to
work together.
Use the program effectively so that in the end of the day, we get the financing to the business owner to create the jobs, do the build out, buy the real estate, and then to catalyze other investment in our communities. Because I want to reinforce that this is about not just helping a particular business interest. It is about the job creation. It is about, you know, the secondary impact that these investments have, not just in the particular purchase or the build out of a building, but then what happens with the sale of those products, the services, and then how that catalyzes and supports other investment in other communities. So I
contrary to what you were saying, I don't believe that this is going to scare away most people. And I would put it into this context. It's very difficult to get access to capital, and particularly to get substantial capital that's other people's monies. And so these programs, whether it be the 7A, in this case the 504, are giving you an opportunity to get access to millions of dollars potentially that will become generational wealth for you and your family and your community in exchange for a couple of things that you got to do. But one of the things that's important is you need a guide to go through that process. And that's exactly what SummerCore serves as. So you don't have to come to the program knowing all of the details. SummerCore is actually guiding you through that entire process. And yet there's got some rigor to it. And if for whatever reason you're not ready at that moment, you still have SummerCore to help you get ready. And you have organizations like ours, Southland Development Authority, that can also work through that process.
That's right.
And it's in our interest to do this for very selfish reasons. Our job is to support the growth economically in the communities that we serve. But in the process of doing that, you know, you take 10 years of investing in your operating business, investing and owning your real estate, and now you've created substantial generational wealth.
Yes.
And that ultimately is where we're trying to go. I know, like you, we serve everyone, but we have a strong interest in a lot of underrepresented communities who we think there's a huge upside to. That includes women, who've been the largest number of new entrepreneurs since COVID, particularly women of color. It includes veterans, whose jobs and work that they've done in the military are not always easy to translate into the conventional world, but their skill sets are great as entrepreneurs. We also believe a lot of young people, a lot of folks that are coming out of grad school, maybe even some folks that are out of undergrad who seem really young and green and hungry, but they want to be entrepreneurs. They want to be in this space. And helping them navigate programs like the 504 plan is really an important aspect of this. And in my mind, one of the things that I'm really interested in is the new program that you're working on, which is the down payment assistance program.
That's
and
right.
I wanted to ask you just to describe a little bit about that program and how it potentially works with the 504 program.
So, Bo, you talked about communities that we want to help, right?
Yeah.
And to bring about investment to make our community stronger. It's in everybody's best interest. It's not a zero sum game.
That's right.
It's about making the pie as large as possible.
Absolutely.
Right. The economic pie as large as possible. So, you know, working with the Southland Development Authority through the Cook County Economic Development Committee and the Small Business Source and the work that Cook County, the Bureau of Economic Development, is doing here locally, is a model,
Absolutely.
Right? So we talked, you touched on one of the, you know, early startups and their need for access to capital. One of the challenges that sometimes business owners face, even with that 10% down payment, may be challenging in being able to access the 504 loan, because remember I talked about cash flow, right? And where even if it's a modest size project, you know, that $30,000, that $60,000, that $100,000 down payment is a lot of money. Yeah. It may take cash from the liquidity from the business that the business needs to continue to grow.
So there's some trade-offs.
There are trade-offs. Yeah. And then sometimes what happens is that an underwriter, right, the people who are lending making the financing available, they will look at the liquidity. They will look at your cash flow and your position, your ability to repay the loan. So what we decided was to create a down payment assistance program that the county is funding, is supporting. Super, super proud of that initiative because this is really
it's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Not many certified development companies across the nation are actually able to do what we're doing here. So in many ways, I think it's also a potential model. What we're doing is we're reducing that down payment to essentially 5% in some instances, depending on what that total project costs. So it's the Summer Core Down Payment Assistance Program, where for businesses that have been at least operating for at least 2 years, that have an annual revenue of $200,000 up to $5 million, for a total project cost of up to $1 million, you may get up to $25,000 as a grant to help you with that down payment.
Yep.
And the reason that's important is that it helps with that liquidity crunch.
Yeah.
It helps with that cash flow, and it gives the third party lender more ease, more comfort in knowing that that borrower, that business, is going to be okay after taking that financing to buy their building, to do the build out, to buy that equipment, to grow. And so the county, as you know, as part of an initiative, they had the Community Financial Institution Capacity Building Grant that was made available through President Tony Preikwinkle's leadership and the Bureau of Economic Development to work with local community financial institutions, nonprofit lenders. So there were a number of CDFIs who received some of this grant support, as well as Summer Core. But I'm proud to say that we're the only SBA lender of that cohort who's using these dollars to then help people who own their business own their building.
Yeah.
And so we're working together.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that these dollars are deployed to communities that we know have so much more potential to grow and the opportunity. And so we're super excited about the down payment assistance program.
Well, as you know, the Southland Development Authority, we work with about 700 to 1,000 businesses a year. And that includes kind of brand new startups to solopreneurs. There's a lot of people that have kind of that single member LLC that they generate and pay and feed their families from that work. And we work with those folks too. But all the way up to $200 million businesses. So it's kind of from zero to $200 million. But there's about 2.5% of the businesses that we work with that are really kind of high growth entities that we really want to focus on. And these are the sorts of organizations that could really benefit from the 504 program, the down payments assistance program, the other things that we have to do. And we're going to be working together to identify those businesses, because in many instances, in year one, they may not be quite ready to take advantage of your program. They may need a year or two to get prepped and ready, and that's part of what we can do together and kind of working with them. But I would encourage anyone who has a business that's in our space that thinks that they might be interested in the program to reach out directly to us, because our job, our mission, is to actually put them in that pipeline and get them ready.
That's right.
Education, we're hoping to do a lot of that work. We're hoping to leverage this podcast, but also our work with the Achieve Summit.
Yes.
That's coming up June 4th and 6th.
Super excited about that.
And you're going to be one of the sponsors there. I want to ask you to talk a little bit about how you actually educate people collectively about the opportunities and use that kind of as a funnel to get people ready. But before you do, I want to make sure we don't forget one point that I want to highlight. the 504 program is available not just for the real estate, but for equipment.
Equipment.
And equipment is a big deal for a lot of these businesses.
Very big.
And I'd be interested in getting a sense of where and how you've been able to really educate businesses of the upside potential of leveraging this specifically for equipment.
So I'm going to, you know, look, it starts with partnerships with people like you, leaders like you, and organizations like the Southland Development Authority. We obviously do a lot of work directly with the banking community, credit unions and private lenders. And yeah, oftentimes they're the ones who are calling us to say, hey, I have a client. We think that the 504 program really works well for this client. But, you know, we also have to be working directly with the, you know, economic development organizations, yeah, who are also working hand in hand with a very broad range of entrepreneurs. And you are educating, you're informing, you have that built-in trust,
yeah,
with members of the entrepreneurial community in these respective neighborhoods, right? So we got to get out and we partner. That's how we do it.
Yeah,
you know, that's why we're a big supporter.
Collaboration is the key.
It's critical. Yeah. It's critical. And the other thing that I love about our approach, Bo, is that, you know, look, if you take a look at our board, we have a very broad range of board members. We have, yeah, a number of members from the banking community, right? Because they're also on our loan committee. We need to make sure that we have that expertise.
Knowledgeable people, yeah.
But now what we're also doing is we're connecting bankers to organizations like the Southland Development Authority,
yeah,
and others. And I get super excited about that because then, you know, it's not just about 504. It's about other services, other banking services. It's just about financial literacy, period.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter whether you are a startup or whether you've been in business for 10 years or whether, you know, you are now a multi-million dollar, multi-state operation. You never stop growing.
Yeah.
You know that. You never stop growing. And so, you know, how can we play an intentional role in connecting those various resources, those assets, is important. You know, we talk with a lot of partners, and oftentimes, you know, we will learn from each other. But if we're not intentional about that engagement,
yeah,
we may never learn.
You may miss
from
a lot.
Each other. We'll miss a lot. So, you know, I that's one of the things that I learned early on. When I was a city council member, when I served in state government, how important it is to bring different stakeholders together and to learn from each other.
Yeah.
And also not to go in and to tell people how to do it.
Right.
But to learn and understand and collaborate. And also, you know, that's where the innovation takes place. I'm super excited about what's going on locally. And not just, you know, Cook County's leading the charge, right?
Yep.
What they're doing is tremendous. And they're,
it is.
You know, for instance, these dollars, and we talked about this before the program, these are not federal dollars,
yeah,
that are being deployed.
These are county dollars.
These are Cook County dollars that are being utilized because the county has recognized that there's value in growing jobs. There's value, yeah, in supporting entrepreneurs because that's where the investment is going.
Well, credit to Cook County in this instance, that they leveraged the American Rescue Plan Act money.
That's right.
To implement a variety of programs. And from that process, what they did is they identified programs that were having the biggest impact and decided that they were going to put their money where their mouth was, right? And continue those types of programs that they thought had the biggest impact, like,
that's right,
the down payment assistance program that, yes, you're now running, like the BSO program that we operate in. These are things that they are spending and investing, I should say, as opposed to spending it's money on, because they are the things that foster the small business ecosystem that drives the economy going forward. So credit to that entire team.
And going back, it's an integrated model.
Absolutely.
Right. So that was, you know, also the point I was trying to make is it's about the integration, that connectivity. You know, real quick, I love what you said. You referenced how the county leveraged some federal dollars and then found a way to have a sustainable pathway.
Right.
Right. Beyond that federal investment, and they're doing it. And so similarly, what we're doing here as part of that,
that's
is
right. Same thing.
Yes, yeah, we're connecting a federal loan program that has a tremendous track record with local economic development investment dollars to have a multiplier effect.
Yeah.
In really creating a greater level of access for smaller size businesses that maybe would otherwise have had a harder time accessing the 504 loan program, to really now get that loan and to take full advantage of that lower cost financing.
Yes.
And again, it's like you said, it's not a giveaway. It's creating jobs.
Yeah.
It's creating opportunity. It's creating stronger, healthier communities. And we talk about hope and opportunity. It gets us fired. I know you're fired up.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you, I want to transition as we get onto this to a couple of things. One, the Achieve Summit, which is going to be fun. I want to thank you, first of all, for being a sponsor of our inaugural summit last year, where we had Damon John as one of our keynotes. And excited about this year, you guys continuing to work with us.
Absolutely.
You know, what does a program like this mean, not just to the Southland, but to the region? You know, I asked that question because, surprisingly, you would think there are a lot of larger business conferences in the Chicago area, but there really aren't. Not the ones that bring the kind of speakers and collection of folks that we're talking about together. I'm assuming that had some influence in your decision to continue to work with us. But give us your perspective of your experience last year, what you're expecting this year, and how do you think about this in the context of your broader agenda?
Well, it's like a huge expo for all things entrepreneurship. You had some great speakers and presentations.
Yeah.
But you know what excites me is it's a little bit of kind of like a Super Bowl event,
yeah,
right? But as we know, and you played football,
yes, that's
you know,
right.
I know Bo Kemp,
yes,
I saw the video,
yeah,
okay,
right.
I saw some of the moves, yeah. But you know, as you know, you don't win it. You don't win the game on the day of the game,
right?
You win it in the preparation. You win it in what goes in, you know, that hard work, and that's what the Southland Development Authority does. It's you know, the expo is great. I love the expo. A lot of inspiration, a lot of resources, but there's a lot of continuity. And so we look at this as not just a sponsorship of the event, of the Super Bowl for entrepreneurs and SDA.
Right.
But it's about, you know, I get excited about the practice.
Yeah.
So I should have brought my whistle, my coach's whistle. I get excited about what goes on every day. And I want to give kudos to you and
Thank
your
you.
Team. You know, whether it's manufacturing, whether it's a housing, and all of the other resources, technical assistance, you're there consistently.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's a privilege to be able to say, hey, we're going to be partners in this journey. And I would say that the SBA, they're expecting that of the summer corps. They're expecting that of the CDCs. You know, to get out there, to partner with organizations like the SDA. And, you know, I'm ready for that practice, Coach.
That sounds great. Part of this program is talking about ways in which people can build their business and overcome some of the challenges of what it takes to build a business. But for many people, what they aspire to really isn't wealth. It's actually personal fulfillment. And I'm curious, just from your perspective, you've done so many different things. And as we started the whole conversation, you've been a committed public servant in many respects. Even though you're technically not a public servant in the role that you're playing, there's a public service that is related to what you do. How do you find personal fulfillment? And what drives you in that direction, given all the things that you've done?
You know, I love our community. I think this nation is a tremendous place. I've had the privilege of traveling to other places in the world, and I know that we've had a lot of challenges, but this is still the greatest place out there. But we have to work to keep it great, and entrepreneurship is one of the ways, and it's one of the reasons why we're so great.
Yeah.
Is that it creates opportunity for anybody,
yeah,
anybody who's willing to work hard, and for me in this role, it's a unique opportunity to help facilitate that opportunity to create something, And it's a privilege to not only do it in partnership with units of government at the federal level, at the local level, people who I've worked with, yeah. you know, at all levels of government, but then also doing it with you know other stakeholders, other members of the community to drive impact. And so it's that inspiration and motivation that just has that little, it keeps that fire burning.
That's good. You know, we're going to talk a lot about this even at the conference. And in preparation for the conference, we're going to do a little bit of workshops to kind of help educate people around 504 programs and ways that they can leverage it for real estate and for equipment. But when you think about where you anticipate SomaCore is going to be in the next 2 to 3 years, not even five, you know, what are the challenges that you have to overcome to get you to the place that you have in your vision?
You know, I would just say for us is you know, for any organization is staying grounded.
Yeah.
Staying grounded, staying focused, never forgetting the why.
Yeah.
And reminding yourself of the why. And, you know, I'm super excited about what's going on throughout the state of Illinois. I would say, though, we don't just lend in Illinois. We also lend in Indiana, yeah. portions of Indiana, portions of Wisconsin. And
your
and
regional
so
organization.
One of our goals is to continue that expansion to serve a broader range of communities. But, you know, I come to it with some humility and also humbleness and just just work hard,
yeah.
right? Working hard, having that vision, the why, and the partnership and collaboration.
That's great. Well, listen, Mandy, this was fantastic. This is the first of what will be a series of conversations that we have, including having you speak at the Achieve Summit June 4th through 6th at Wind Creek Casino this summer. But we're really excited about partnering with you, helping to identify businesses that can take advantage of this program, having you serve as a guide to help a lot of these businesses go through this process, and we get to collaborate with you in that. So thank you for coming on to the show, and look forward to continuing working with you.
Thank you, Bo.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, brother.